That hymn, wonderful piece. I love it, and you guys sing it beautifully this morning. But it's, I love having that right after our congregational prayer, because isn't really that the root of everything we pray for? Father, give us peace while you do what you need to do in our lives. And sometimes our prayers, they're answered the way we want, when we want, right? Not very often, but right? And we say, hallelujah, amen. And sometimes, more often than not, God's got a better plan and better timing. And we have to wait and trust. And sometimes that waiting and trusting is a part of his plan to teach us perseverance. And it's that perseverance that helps grow our faith. And it's hard in those moments to say, you know, Lord, where are you in this? But he's there. He's there. And so in those moments, we're just as thankful. And we feel what scripture says is joy, not happiness necessarily, but joy, because we know he is at work and that there's some better plan or better timing at play. And so we rely on that. And so we pray, Lord, give us peace, wonderful peace. I often brag on my wife. Since she's not here, I'm not going to, but you guys know she's an amazing woman. But I have two amazing children as well. A daughter, Aubrey, and a son, Austin. And they were raised in the same house, and they were born of the same parents, but they are very different in many ways. And you guys know this, right? Your kids are different, and you're different from your siblings and all that. And we love them equally, even though we might not love them identically, right? We love them equally, but not identically. And I'm the middle of three sons, so I'm a middle child. Insert your own joke here. But my older brother, Brett, he was what I call the eternal student. He was 6 years older than me, and I got out of college 4 years ahead of him. He started engineering, and he did this path that finished with a degree in art, because that's what he discovered was his real passion, was art and graphic design. And I think I've told you this. It's kind of interesting that one of the people being helped by the nonprofit I lead in Kansas City knew my brother. And it was neat to hear him share these wonderful memories. My brother's been dead for many years now. But I, on the other hand, I always knew what I wanted to do. And I worked hard for 4 years. I got my degrees. I married my college sweetheart. Then we built a house in the suburb and had our two kids and our 2.1 dogs or whatever the statistic is, right? I just did it. And it was awesome for me. Then my older brother, he was very urban. You know, he wanted to live and walk and do natural grocery. And I'm like, nah. And my younger brother, he's different. His name's Eric, and he's the adventurous one, I would say. He was a foreign exchange student in Australia, so coming from Kansas City, he got off the plane with a surfboard and went, what are you going to do with that here? He worked it out. I'll get to that in a second. He was a Washington, D.C. intern. He was working for Claire McCaskill because that's the only person he could work for, but he moonlighted for Bob Dole. This is obviously many years ago. He was a social worker in the Bronx. Talk about interesting. And he worked as a leper colony in Guyana. And then he married his wife that they met at Presbyterian Youth Camp. And they moved to Hawaii, where he was a federal agent and an amateur surfer, you know. So we were just different, very different. Again, all three born in the same house, raised by the same amazing, God-loving parents that many of you have met several times over the years. And I do believe they love us equally, even if not identically. And together we make a family, and each with our individual personalities, our gifts, our interests, and stories, but a family nonetheless. People, we are the church, right? The church isn't a building. I mean, we call it the building, the church, but we are the church. Not just this congregation, but the global body of Christ. All that believe is the church. Started thousands of years ago by Jesus Christ himself. The body of Christ. And God loves each one of us equally, but not identically. Scripture tells us we are each blessed with a variety of gifts, and we bring our individual personalities and our gifts and our interests and stories together as a united group of Christ followers. And you've heard me say this, there's a lot of stuff that differentiates us. Now we're not overly diverse. We aren't here, let's be honest. But we still have a lot of differences, but we're united by the most important thing. And this morning we're going to talk about the way and the why that we do this. And I call it collaborative Christianity. Our journey as followers of Christ is not meant to be solitary. but rather one that thrives on fellowship, unity, and cooperation. You know, because it feels good to be with other people. And as we open the Word of God, let us discover how collaboration strengthens our faith, impacts the world, and brings glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, from the very beginning, God established the importance of collaboration. And it's in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God declared, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Now, don't take that out of context and helper, because the Holy Spirit was referred to as a helper, right? We need help. And it's true. We guys need help of women. But God's saying people need the help of each other. God designed us for fellowship, for cooperation, and for shared responsibility. God created Eve as a suitable partner for Adam, teaching us that collaboration is central to our creative nature. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, Solomon reminds us that two are better than one. And he explains, he says, because they have a good reward for the toil. Collaboration, working together, brings strength and support and encouragement. It multiplies our efforts and enables us to overcome challenges together. And Jesus Christ himself is the ultimate model of collaboration, right? He didn't do it on his own. He surrounded himself with people, disciples, and other people that traveled with him and followed him. It's in Matthew 4:19 that Jesus called his disciples. He said, "Follow me." And he says, "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus didn't call individuals to pursue their own personal agendas. He didn't say, "Come with me and go do what you want." He called them to collaborate on the great mission of spreading the gospel and making disciples of others, to share the good news, to build that relationship, to help us understand that we have a good Heavenly Father that cares for us and we can rely on and have faith in, and to share that good news with others and remind us and each other daily. You know, throughout his ministry, Jesus exemplified collaboration by sending his disciples often out in pairs. As mentioned in Mark 6:7, it says he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. You know, Jesus intentionally sent his disciples out in pairs because it fostered collaboration, shared responsibility and mutual support, and created a greater impact. Now think about this. If you're sitting at a table where I work, you know, is a bit of an assembly process. And you know, we're sitting at these tables and people can work on the stuff that's right around them, right? And you can kind of stretch and get a little bit farther. But each of us bringing our reach expands the way that we can reach, the depth and the amount of space that we can cover, each with our individual reach and even metaphorical reach with the people we know and the skills we have and the situations we find ourselves in. As followers of Christ, we are not isolated individuals, but part of this body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we read, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." It's, you're not forgoing your individuality, right? Remember I said, God loves everyone, not just everyone, the one word, but every single one. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You have not lost your identity. You're just a part of something bigger. And each one of us possesses unique gifts and talents. And this analogy that Paul used beautifully captures the essence of collaboration. Each member of the body of Christ has a unique role and function. And it's through the harmonious collaboration, the working together of these diverse parts of the body, that we can function effectively. Just as a hand cannot function without the support of the arm, and the arm needs the guidance of the head, so too do we need one another to thrive as the body of Christ. Collaboration allows us to combine our strengths, to compensate for one another's weaknesses. And I don't mean failings. I'm just saying we have our natural gifts and talents. And you know, where people are stronger in some areas, they can step in and do that. And even in our best, we still need the love and support and encouragement of others. And even the strongest givers at times need to receive. We find ourselves in these seasons of our life. You know, working together like that allows us to combine our strengths and compensate for our weaknesses and fulfill a collective purpose. As a group, we will. You know, it's that verse, and I love it. It's one that I often use even more often than the love verses when I do a wedding, and that's the court of three, right? 3. A cord of 3 is not easily overcome. Okay, in a marriage, in any relationship, right? It's two people in what? God. Two people in God. And I often describe it as this triad of God and the spouses. And you know, you grow closer together as you get closer to God. You do. And you can lean on each other. It stands on its own. And think of that not just in the marriage relationship, but every relationship God should be a part of. That's what allows you to be gracious and forgiving and loving and accepting. And from this morning's scripture, to remember that Al read, this is Romans 12, beginning of chapter or verse 4, it says, we're reminded that just as a body has many parts with many members and different functions, we as believers are one body in Christ, interconnected and dependent on one another. Collaborative Christianity enables us to work harmoniously, right? Respecting and valuing the diverse contributions of others. Have you thought about that? Appreciating the differences, celebrating them, not pointing them out as something that's bad or just because it's different. Collaborative Christianity finds its expression in ministry and in service. In fact, it's Paul's letter to the Ephesians 4:11-12. It teaches us that the God has anointed various roles within the church body. And it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? The saints are Jesus' followers. Right? We use the saint as a title, but when Paul talks about the saints, he's talking about us, the body of Christ. He says, we are each anointed with various roles, different roles, to equip us to do the work that God has put before us, ministry. Collaboration enables us to effectively utilize these gifts and talents for the edification of the church, right? To build up the church, to build up others, to support those in need, to encourage each other. I often describe churches as a base camp, right? I showed a slide of the base camp on Everest. I mean, it's a task just to get there, and you got a long ways to go. But that's where you go, and you rally, and you rest up, and you get all your gear together, and you go out, and you come back, right? Church isn't where we land on Sunday. Church is where we start our week, and we go out, and we come back. We refresh, we renew, we recharge, we reconnect with God, and we go out and do the trip, and we come back. Base camp. Always meant to go out. It allows us to use as a group these various talents to build each other up and the church and to advance God's kingdom. And it involves supporting and helping one another, lifting each other up in times of need and sharing each other's joys and sorrows, both. We prayed for both this morning. Paul's letter to the Galatians 6:2, it emphasizes the importance of bearing one another's burdens as collaboration involves supporting and helping one another. In fact, it's his letter to Hebrews. We talk about church. He says, let's not neglect getting together. It's important. He said, don't neglect like others do. We need to get together and encourage and support and lift up. And even says, hold accountable. Hold accountable in love and truth. And with, you know, we are to support one another and hold each other accountable to be the best version of ourselves and utilize our gifts. Moreover, this has the power to impact our communities in the world. It's Matthew 5:16. Jesus instructs us, says, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We talked about that this morning, right? Why do we give? Why do we do things? Why do we want to be a part of Jesus' story and working in the world, right? Because we want glory to him. Collaboration, it amplifies the impact of our collective efforts, allowing us to be a beacon of hope and love to the world. The early Christian community portrayed collaboration through their selfless acts of sharing possessions and resources. And as seen in Acts 2:44-45, it says their unity attracted others. So people are curious. You know, what's going on with these people? And more as more people flocked, more people got interested, and they kind of leaned in to see what was going on. I one time in a message, I played a song by Enya. Do you remember that? Enya, the singer, and she doesn't just sing in English. And it's beautiful. It's melodious. But you're going, what is she saying? And you can't help but kind of lean in to pay a little more attention. The early Christian communities were like that. It was so beautiful and harmonious. People just wanted to see what was going on there. And it said God blessed them, and the church grew and grew. It says their unity attracted others to the faith and showcased God's transformative power, not only in the group, but in individuals. And together we can accomplish great things for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in a world often marked by division, competition, discord, it's crucial for us as followers of Jesus Christ to understand the importance of collaboration and unity. Our faith calls us to come together, not just come together in a building, he does call us to gather, but to come together figuratively, putting aside our differences and working together for the greater purpose of God's kingdom and for his other children who he loves equally. As recipients of God's grace and forgiveness, we're called to be agents of reconciliation in the world. Have you thought about that? He wants you to go out and fix some of the problems. That's why he's equipped you with compassion or an ability to speak or empathy or whatever that gift may be, to be agents of reconciliation. Collaboration enables us to bridge divides and heal wounds and build relationships based on love and understanding. And by working together, we demonstrate the transformative power of Christ's love and bring about unity and harmony amidst a world that is quite frankly fragmented. So how does collaborative efforts further a cause? I'm going to get a little more secular, right? Because when I talk about this in the business world, I put a little God in there, and I think it sneaks in. But there are some practical reasons why working together works, right? Because we know that we can leverage diverse strengths and resources, right? We have different gifts. You know, some are quiet servers. Some are you know, really great, strong leaders, authoritative. We have others that are great at this and great at that. And when we come together, we can present this whole package of caring for others and doing the work. And by getting together, we can share the responsibilities and workload. No one has to do all the work. We can do our part. In fact, sometimes the biggest struggle is like when to get out of God's way or get out of someone else's way for a minute and say, you know, enjoy your ministry. And I'm going to enjoy mine. And then we work together. And by doing this, we can generate innovative solutions, right? How can we share this message? How can we do something for the community? How can we help a world from a community of hundreds of houses only? But we can, right? We can build networks and alliances too. We can work with other organizations that may be religious, maybe secular, right? We can work with the community center. We can work with town. We can Heifer International, the other side of the world. These are ways that we can come together with others and do good. And by doing this, we can scale up our impact. We aren't just limited to the immediate reach of this immediate area. We can do wonderful things for God's people. Now put this in the context of Christ's ministry. Jesus himself said, with man, it's not possible. With God, all things are possible. And last week, as we talked about the Holy Spirit, we said, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, right? Let's collaborate. Work in us. Work through us. Let's make this world better while we're in it. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you love us. Every single one of us, you love. Identically, I'm sorry, equally, but not identically. And you've given us talents, gifts, passions. Again, you distribute them equally. Your Bible says so, but not identically. Because you want us to come together, to work together, to build others up, to build each other up, to build ourselves up. Lord, sometimes the mission is to go out and do things for others, but sometimes that mission needs to start right here in the pew, the person on our left or right. Sometimes it's us that needs to just sit back for a moment and be ministered to. And that's okay. That's the way you wanted this to work. Heavenly Father, we ask you to do what we know you're going to do, which is to move on our hearts. How can we be a part of this big movement, this big body, to make this fragmented world a better place until your son returns? What can we do to bring your love, your light to others and to ourselves? Would you reveal that to us? Would you give us the courage to take action on that? Would you help us to not diminish our own role and responsibility in this? Lord, there is a period of time where it was okay to tune into church remotely. And we needed to stay connected. But it's not that you were missing the church. It's just the church was missing you. Because we bring things here. We bring a smile, a conversation, a word of encouragement, a story, whatever it may be. We bring that. And even though we can receive that remotely, we can't always give that remotely. So I thank you for every person here this morning. Thank you that we get to gather and worship you. We get to sit alongside each other. We get to pray for the joys and concerns we have. Lord, most of all, we just thank you that for this relationship we have with you. Thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.